Zadnie to raz.
Tu może.
Jimmy Fury has a great affection for Labradors. For us, he says himself, Labradors are good all-round dogs, both land and water. Nor did we ever hear any expert say otherwise. Jimmy, who lives on the lands of Mount Plunkett, on the Roscommon shore of Lough Ree, has his feet firmly on that land, as had his father before him. 40 acres of it that came to the Furies on the division of the old estate in the late 1940s.
Come on.
Like most men who live on the edge of wide waters, Jimmy Fury lives in two worlds, that of farmer and eel fisherman that he once was, which has given him a respect and sympathetic understanding for great bodies of water. Jimmy Fury's father also had a second world at his command, for he did the carpentry and the maintenance and repairs in the big house, Mount Plunkett, long since abandoned. But Jimmy lives in a snug little house built for his grandfather, who sailed a great ship for an earlier Mount Plunkett landlord, Paddy Graham, who required Grandfather Fury to keep a weather eye on his pride and joy moored out in the bay. Boats and Shannon water are the central song of Jimmy Fury's life. But how did he come to boat building?
We always had a boat, and there'd be a time when you'd have to do repairs on them. So bit by bit, you get more daring every day, and you decide that it was time to build one. So that's how it happened. A fisherman would build a better boat than a carpenter, because he knows, you know, he knows what he wants. He knows the shape she should be, whereas a carpenter goes by straight lines. It's all curves in a boat.
But this is no ordinary boat. This is a thoroughbred in the making, a Shannon 1 design. She came by her name in a successful attempt to standardise open sailing boats of 18 feet on the Shannon waters. The 1 design for the Shannon, or Shannon 1 design. But first the keel, made from finest Irish larch, is brought to the stocks to be held in an unyielding embrace until all is complete. Now the kelson is addressed to the keel. The slot cut through its centre will allow the centreboard to be raised and lowered. The stem post is the curved piece that forms the bow of the boat. As this is a class boat, it is built to very exact measurements and specifications. A wooden guide in the roof running the length of the boat is marked off in feet and will give the precise position as to where the mast will be stepped, or in this instance, where the wooden frames used as guides for the planking will be fixed. Boat building is full of ancient and strange naval terminology. The planks are called strakes, the seats thwarts, and so on. The pairs of strakes are cut and tacked together temporarily to be worked as one, creating identical twins. The kelson, the strip of wood nailed to the keel, is there to give a solid ground for the first pair of strakes, temporarily held in place by a simple but effective wooden clamp, an extra inanimate pair of hands. Though a bachelor, Jimmy is not without a family.
I've two brothers and two sisters. The two sisters are married close by. One brother is in England, and Paddy is retired out of the Navy. He's living here with me now and helping me with the boat building. He gardens and does the cooking.
It takes 6 weeks for Jimmy to build a Shannon, but that 6 weeks can stretch when there's haymaking or cattle to be attended to.
There was two chaps from England, Graham Goodwin and Graham Pierce. I built rowboats for them. So they were thinking of buying a sailboat. There's a family over there that lived beside them by the name of Mayans. They had a Shannon 1 design. So the Mayans then influenced them to get a Shannon. So they came across here and asked me would I build a Shannon. I never built one before, so I said I would. So I didn't know what I was letting myself in for at the time, so I didn't. But that's how I happened to get into building Shannon. That was in 1970, so it was. So I'm at it since.
Walter Living was the first builder of Shannons.
Walter Levinge, he was the one that used to build all the Shannons up to then. And I had to get the chain plates and the pinches. So you had to make up patterns for them. And Walter obliged me by getting them for me. So Walter, he was very helpful. Any advice, any help you needed, Walter wouldn't keep it from you. So I have a lot to be grateful to him for. He was a lovely gentleman, so he was.
The first Shannon, number 32, was built by Walter Living in the winter of 1921 to 22. Walter was to go on building Shannons for the rest of his working life, 60 boats or more, until his death in October 1982. The sheer strake completes the 11th plank on each side of the hull. Jimmy has been soaking laths of oak in the lake for a few days to make them supple. Poor Paddy, a decent man, has been dragged away from his leeks and cabbages to lend a hand at this stage of the boat building. The turf is from their own bog. It's amazing what Jimmy can achieve single-handed, but there are some aspects of boat building that call for two pairs of hands. An old metal pipe acts as a steam pipe to boil the oak laths for the boat's ribs. The boiling water and steam will make the wood flexible and easily managed.
There's 8 or 9 in there.
The oak laths must be true and straight of grain. The slightest cross-graining and they snap like a matchstick. Advanced preparation is vital for this job.
This is it now. Keep it over against the board.
The tannin in the oak combines with the water to stain the timber and make a pleasing contrast. Clinker or clencher-built boats, where the strakes overlap each other and are held in place by rivets, are of very great antiquity. The method, as far as we know, arrived in Ireland with the Vikings as early as the 9th century. When completed, the boat will be examined by the measurers appointed by the governing body. She must conform to the specifications laid down for the class. One extra rib or a 2-inch discrepancy in the beam could mean rejection. Jimmy must constantly check the position of the hull on the stocks so it does not shift out of alignment and take in a reversible set to one side or the other. The width of the beam at 4'10" is also checked, and wooden props hold this position, for without the thwarts or seats in place, the hull can easily distort. The gunwale adds strength to the garboard strake and completes the hull. The mighty Shannon and the Great Lakes of Ireland dictated and shaped the development of the traditional open rowing boat, for 18 feet, it seems, is the perfect length to combat their steep, short waves. But if the turn of the century saw the decline of the larger sailing boats that Jimmy's grandfather captained, it welcomed the increase in popularity of the centreboard open sailing boat. Races were organised, timed competitions took place, and cups were won. But the vexing problem of conformity raised its watery head, and a complex and unsatisfactory system of handicapping ensured the inevitable rancour and argument. It was decided to introduce the one design for open 18-foot sailing boats for Shannon sailing, with a gunter rig and carrying a single lug sail of not more than 140 square feet. The First World War delayed any plans for establishing a standard, and it was not until 1920 that F.C. Morgan Giles, a leading English yacht designer of the day, was asked by a joint committee representing the Shannon Yacht Clubs to design an open sailing boat based on their specifications. This was to be the Shannon 1 design.
I've never been out of Ireland. I've always lived here. I've been to Dublin a few times, that's all. So I'd never had the inkling to move too far. Except I moved along the Shannon, that's roughly as far as I went. It's a bit late now to start travelling. If you got the taste of life away now, you might be inclined to come back. So you mightn't. The first model I made, it was a model of a Shannon 1 design, an inch and a half to the foot. I love model making. It's something you wouldn't get to continue at, like making bigger boats. But it's very satisfying when you have something made after a long time. Usually I use yew for planking and bog oak for some of the finishing inside, and boxwood. I'm making a model of a Swedish Iron Age boat. I don't know will I ever get finished, so I don't. She's a strange boat. There's risers hewn out each plank under each frame, which is very difficult to do. So I don't know whether I'll be able to get it done or not. But if you try hard enough, I suppose it'll work a way out to do it. We have a lot of trouble getting good timber today. With the Shannon, it's a large keel, oak stem posts and oak ribs, white deal planking, and mahogany seats or teak, and mahogany centreboard casing. So you have a variety of timbers. The mahogany is easy enough to get, but the white deal, you have trouble in picking it. And larch is not easy to come by either. Good quality larch. So you have a bit of travelling to do for it.
And Jimmy's travels have taken him to Cohen's Timber Yard in Tullamore to select timber suitable for the centreboard casing, amongst other things.
Right.
Paddy's experience with things mechanical, gained from a lifetime at sea, made his help particularly welcome when it came to setting up this old planer. He ran away from home when still a teenager and joined the merchant service. If it was adventure he was seeking, he surely found it sailing before the mast during the Second World War. Jimmy cuts out the centreboard casing. The two sides have also to be worked as a pair. Peter Coyle, a neighbour, gives a hand.
It has to be dead straight, be right, isn't it?
Yeah. 90 degrees. There's only a few to bore, but so many.
I'd say you could go behind towards it there now, just there, there.
The years you could feel the walls you climb now, they're getting that bit higher and the hills are getting that bit steeper and boats are beginning to get that bit heavier and, you know, you can know well the fellow with the long gown and the sight under his arm is catching up. So he is. My father used to always say that when you're not able to look after yourself or that, you were better gone. You know, that you wouldn't be a burden on anybody. He always, and that's the way he did go. You know, he was just a few days in bed before that was it. Some are fortunate enough in that line, so they are nature's kind to some, so it is.
Jimmy makes use of a smaller steam pipe to steam a piece of oak that will form a capping over the top of the centreboard. The steel centreboard will be supplied to him, as well as the bronze fittings for the boat, which are sand cast in Dublin. Chain plates for the two beam stays and forestay, the fittings for the rudder, and the claw for the extension to the mast. Jimmy made this brass concave plane himself, specially to match the curvature of the mast. And then, one day, there's no more work to be done. The boat is completed, and out she comes. 6 weeks have elapsed, and Donal Gleeson arrives to take away his very own Shannon 1 design.
Just pull it down now.
Donal will varnish her himself, a job that Jimmy normally does.
Yeah.
Well, it's better win plenty of races now, Jimmy.
And as Jimmy has told us, a fisherman would build a better boat than a carpenter because he knows what he wants. Ships and the sea, there's nothing finer made, John Masefield wrote.
I see you brought the box bar over Greenwich. He brought it forward all the way on this, to this, to the step.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
But the, that's a good idea. In the plan it stops short, doesn't it?
It stops just here.
Yeah.
You know,
which is nothing. Bad, really.
Yeah.
It's the one that's really up.
Yeah.
A beautiful little boat in every detail, sweet of line, and made by a true craftsman.
Ah, if you make a...
Make a bit
float.
There, in the person of Jimmy himself, is fisherman, farmer, carpenter. But above all, and like Noah himself, and many another since then, a builder of boats.
I love the Shannon and I love sailing, so I had to build one for myself. After building them, to be on a writer's boat, I would have the satisfaction of sailing them. That's why I have one for myself.
Here, Enda, come in here. Enda, come in here.
Jimmy had his 50th birthday before he took to sailing. He is a member of the Lochree Yacht Club, which is the second oldest in the world after Cork, and was founded in 1770. They have a week's regatta every year in August. A very enjoyable week, so Jimmy says, when he can meet his friends and do plenty of sailing, and maybe win a race or two. Isn't that what it's all about?